This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Oh, okay, I get it. I was wondering. All right. Welcome this morning to our day two of our pastors and ministers conference. How many of you were thoroughly blessed yesterday? All right. So without taking too much of our time, you can say our runway is ready for this evening. All right. Let's welcome once again Pastor Howe from the Heart of God Church, Singapore.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a louder, bigger applause. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And wow, I feel so at home now. This is super cool. Hi, and I can talk to everybody. Wow, this is Pastor Towin can be a supermodel and do the runway. Hey, hello everybody. Good morning. And are you still happy? Amen. It is so good to see every one of you. I can see all your faces. Amen. So one more time, will we give Jesus a big, big applause? Oh, by the way, I'm wearing my Nigerian cap. Can you see this? Now, this is not just for decoration. It is not just for fashion. This is my habit. Whenever I go to a country, to a nation, to preach, to minister, my habit is to pray for the nation. Pray for the people and the pastors of the nation. Because it's my belief that you must earn the right, the authority to speak into the nation, into the people of the nation, only after you have sown into the nation. If we have not sown sacrifice and put skin in the game, and just carry the burden prayerfully for the nation, I think the preacher has not earned the right to speak into that nation, to speak to the pastors of the nation. So what I always do, I got our staff to prepare this little flag for me, and in my morning prayer time, I will pray for this nation a month or 2 months before I even come. So I have been praying for you, all the pastors, because prayer precedes ministry. Prayer precedes ministry. Before I minister, I must pray. And I must seek the Lord for His vision, His burden, His heart for this nation. So I'm really excited to share with you this session because I believe it is a prophetic word for you this season, for the pastors and the churches that you lead. It's a prophetic word for this season of this nation. So are you ready for the session this morning? All right, all ready? Okay, let's get started. And I also want to add that this prophetic word, it has to be Bible-based. So I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. And you are pastors and leaders here, so you know the story of Eli, Samuel, and David. And I'll refer to that later. So as I was praying about your great nation, I feel God is saying that you need to prepare. You need to prepare for a great, amazing future that is in front of you. You need to become a generation of kingmakers. I say one more time. A generation of kingmakers. But you and I, our generation here, we need to prepare. The previous few generations, they are pioneers. So they pioneer. And we stand on the foundations that they have pioneered. But we are also to prepare so that the future generations growing up and even the unborn generations, they will rise up and take your churches, your ministry, and your nation to a whole new level. Amen? So we are a generation of kingmakers, but we are not the king. So that's what the word of the Lord is saying. So let me tell you why. So as I share with you from the book of 1 Samuel, you will see that it is in those times, in 1 Samuel, it is a time of transition. It is a season of transition from Eli to Samuel and then to King David. So in this time of transition, you will see the rise of the Samuel generation. It's a time of passing the baton. It's a time of change. And you can see at least three generations over here. Eli, Samuel, and King David. From the judges, it transited to the prophets, and then to the kings. So Samuel would become the last judge and the first king. Samuel would go on to anoint a young man named David and usher in a new era in the kingdom of God, the era of the kings. So listen, the Samuel generation is a kingmaker generation. So listen, we are the Samuel generation. Therefore, we are the kingmaker generation. Do I hear amen for that? Before I go on, I need to insert a clause. So listen carefully. We do not mean any disrespect or dishonor for the older generation. This is not what I'm saying. We are not saying that the older generations who have pioneered, who have toiled, who have sweat, who have given their whole lives, in any way saying that they are the Eli generation. So, listen carefully. Do not misinterpret or misunderstand or misquote what I am saying. Amen? So we are not referring to them as the Eli generation. We are just saying that we, right now, right here, at this point of eternity, or at this point in God's timeline, that we are the Samuel generation. And God wants to use us to be kingmakers, to raise up a new generation of kings and queens. Are you listening to me? So we are not the kings, we are the kingmakers. We are called to raise up kings. So turn to your neighbor and say, you are a kingmaker. So we are born for such a time as this. I believe that Nigeria, these are the times that you are going through. I believe that in this conference, as you hear this, you and I are kingmakers because we are called to raise up young spiritual kings and queens in this nation. I mean, look at you. I just Googled the statistics. The average age of Nigeria is 17 years old. You know this better than me. There are millions and millions of young people in your nation, in your city. 63% of Nigerians are under 25 years old. literally millions and millions of young people. So, and Africa as a whole is the youngest continent in the whole world. So I believe that's why Pastor Poju wanted Pastor Leah and I to speak in this conference. Because, let me tell you, Pastor Poju is a man of wisdom and understanding. It's like, he's like, in the book, in the Bible, it says, the sons of Issachar, who has the understanding of the times. And he is a bridge builder. He understands what this nation and the churches and the pastors need here. And then he sees anywhere in the world that he can bring in, that God is doing a work, and he can bring in into this nation so that it can bless the nation, it can bring the nation, the churches, the pastors to a whole new level. So he has understanding of the times, and I know he feels that the message of generations is ripe, is needed for this nation. So if you look at the book of 1 Samuel, you have Eli, you have Samuel, and then you have Kings. It's a time of transition from generation to generation. Don't you feel that it is very similar to what we are living through today? We are living through a time of transition that the new generation, the young generation, is very different from us and from the older generation. We are living in a time of transition between generations. We now live in a world where influence is no longer top-down, but peer-to-peer. The world is transiting from a hierarchical society to a network society. You got to understand that. So the young generation, they don't see the world like we do. We live in a generation where a lot of things are top down, where we will find our answers and information from the elders whom we know. But because of the internet, the young generation is different. Listen, when they want information, they don't need to go to the older generation. They don't need to go to the teachers. They don't need to go to the experts. Guess where they go to? Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. So they don't need the older generation anymore. Because, like, for example, TripAdvisor or a restaurant or any product that they want to purchase, what do? They Google, they search the information, they read the comments, they check out the 5-star reviews, whether it is 5-star or 2 stars or 1 star. And they form their conclusion based on what their peers say about this product or this restaurant or this country. It is a peer-to-peer information sharing. No longer from the experts and from the authority, no longer top-down. So the young generation, they don't need the experts anymore. They don't need the elders anymore. They don't need the authority anymore. They go to the influencers. They go to the content creator. So, how many of you have heard older people say this? Whoa, young people these days. Oh, when I was growing up, I was never like this. The young people these days, they are disrespectful. They do not understand. So these are the feelings of the older people. The young people, they don't listen to you. And any question they have, guess what? They go online. TikTok has become their father. Instagram has become their mother. YouTube has become their pastor. So they don't need to go to one pastor. They can listen to hundreds of pastors all over the world from YouTube. So they have knowledge and information right here on their handphones. They don't need authority anymore. I'm not saying this is a good thing. I am saying this is the reality. Amen. And what's more is that now they all have a voice. When we were growing up, before we can speak, we have to lift our hands in class. And only when the teacher points at you, and then we are given permission to speak. Now, whenever they want to speak, they just post it. I don't like this. I think this is horrible. This is so cool. And they now have a voice to tell the whole world, all their followers. So times have changed. So that is why there's no other time in history that has been such a great tension between generations, a great friction between the generations, because you have a new generation that is fighting to be the future, and then you have a previous generation who is fighting not to be the past. It is a conflict. It is a tension between the two generations. The young generation don't feel like they need us anymore, the older ones. And the older ones are desperately trying to say, no, you need us. We have more experience than you. We know more than you. And yet they say, no, I do not know you. Anything I need, I can get from the internet. So you got to understand, why is there such a tension and friction? So because if we want to be the Samuel generation, if we want to be the kingmaker generation, we need to have a paradigm shift. How to reach, how to communicate, how to engage a whole new generation with a different philosophy, with a different way of seeing things. Amen? So, one more time I say, we are not saying that the Eli generation has failed. We are not saying that the Eli generation has made mistakes. We are not saying that because they have pioneered and they have built up what we have today. And so it is more like, remember when in the Bible, God spoke to David. And God says, David, you will not build the temple. Your son, Solomon, he will build the temple. Now, was it because David has sinned? Was it because David was bad in any way? No, it's because the seasons have changed. The need for the times and the seasons and the generations have changed. Because God says, David, you are a man of war. And you were needed to kill Goliath. You were needed to pioneer, because in the early years, we needed leaders who will be men and women of war. But now Solomon, now to build the temple, you are needed because you are men of peace. You are men of wisdom. Different leadership characteristics is needed for different generation. So do not be fixated on one leadership characteristic. What works for an older generation may be different for a younger generation. Are you understanding this? So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we have the characteristics of an Eli generation. And if we want to be the kingmaker generation, if we want to reach the next generation, we need to change our paradigm. And this is the characteristic of an older generation. Now, again, I need to put many claws into this message. When I say older, I do not mean older in age. You know, sometimes when I say older, I am not talking about just old people. No, no, no. Just like yesterday, I said maturity does not come with age. Remember that? Maturity comes with the acceptance of responsibility. So a young person can be mature. In the same way I'm saying this, when I say old, I mean old in spirit. You can be young, a young person, 20 years old, 25 years old, but yet have an old spirit. An old spirit is someone who is unchangeable, unteachable. Where God says, Jesus, unless you be like childlike, like a little child. So you can be old in age, yet have a young spirit, a childlike spirit. So when we talk about Eli here, when we talk about old here, what I mean is an old spirit. So I'm not talking about old people, I'm talking about old spirit. Are you listening carefully? Do not misinterpret what I'm saying. Do not go back and say, Pastor Howe says old people are obsolete. No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't have an old spirit. Have a young spirit. Do I hear amen for that? So you can be 50, 60, 70 years old, 90 years old, and still have a young spirit. Amen? So what is this old spirit that we are talking about? You see, when you are old, physically, you have certain characteristics. For example, when you are old, you lose your hair. That's why I wear a cap. I'm losing my hair. So you realize, ooh, I'm getting old. When you're old, you lose your muscles. When you're old, you lose your eyesight. When you're old, you lose your hearing. All right? So, when Eli has an old spirit, guess what happens? He began to lose his vision. You can read on the verse. His eyes began to grow dim, and he could not see. The Lamb of God went out. Eli has an old spirit. He lost spiritual vision. And when you don't have a vision, you cannot lead the people. Because the blind cannot lead the blind. Young people are idealistic. Young people want to change the world. They want to make a difference. So when we have an old spirit, we cannot reach the young people because they are looking for a visionary leader who has a vision for a greater, better future. Have you heard of the group called Coldplay? Coldplay is a pop group. And they wrote a song with a lyric like this. They said this, I'm gonna buy a gun and start a war if you can tell me something worth fighting for. And this is the cry of a young generation. I want a cause to fight for. I want a cause to live for, to die for. But just tell me what? Hey, tell the young people, what greater cause is there than the cause of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the cause where you can live for and you can die for. Amen? So, number one, they lose vision. Number two, if we have an old spirit, we will lose spiritual discernment because we become blind and we can no longer discern carefully. You all know the story, right? Where, remember Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And Hannah came to pray. And Eli saw Hannah praying. Hannah was sincere. Hannah was passionate. Hannah was really praying, and God hears her. But what did Eli discern? Eli couldn't understand, couldn't get that Hannah was praying spiritually. In fact, Eli said, oh, she's drunk. She is drunk. How do you, as a priest, how do you confuse, how do you mix up someone praying, a young lady praying fervently in the spirit, and the priest interpret it as she is in the flesh and say that she is drunk. It shows that the priest has lost discernment. Amen? And so, when we have an old spirit, we will lose discernment, especially of what the young people are doing, especially of what God is doing in the revival of young people. And we will misinterpret what they are doing in the spirit. We will say, no, that is of the flesh, that they are drunk. We need to be careful about that. So when we see the young people zealous, enthusiastic, passionate, the music that they listen to, be very careful not to dismiss it or even criticize it and say they are drunk and say they are in the flesh, because that's the mistake of Eli. So let's talk about music. Like the young generation, they worship in the different music as we do. For you, they might like Afrobeats. They like Afrobeats. In our culture, they like the rap songs. But the older generation, that's not worship. I cannot feel the presence. In Afrobeats, where is the anointing? Where is the presence of God? No, I can only feel the presence of God when we sing, How Great Thou Art. Don't call the young people drunk. Don't say that they are in the flesh. Amen? Because Afrobeats, to them, they feel the presence of God. So different generations have different styles and different music. Are you with me? Don't have an old spirit. So the Eli generation sometimes has an unwillingness to change, unwillingness to accept new ideas. They are not open to the young generation, to the new things of God. So listen, when change comes from the top, it is renewal. When change comes from the bottom up, it is a revolution. And we do not want a revolution in our churches. So, as older people, we need to allow and even encourage change to come. Not just from the bottom up, but from the top down. We want a renewal in our churches, not a revolution. And you know what's worse? Sometimes there is no revolution. What's worse is that there will be a resignation. When change doesn't come for a long time, it leads to resignation. It comes to a point where the youth, they don't even care anymore. They are disengaged. They are not interested. They have given up hope. So, if the youth in your churches are asking for change, if they are pushing for change, listen, it is a good thing. It's a good thing because they still care. They still have hope that this church will change and cater to the young. You will have a big problem when the youth don't care anymore. Whatever songs you use, how you preach, they don't care anymore because they are shut down, they are shut off. That's a resignation you do not want. Change from the young people when it's happening. And I admit, sometimes they can be overzealous. Sometimes their tone can be disrespectful. Sometimes they say things that frustrates you or even hurt you. And we are thinking, we built this for 20 years. Who are you to tell me what to do? And we can be offended and hurt. And for them, they're young. Have you been young before? Have you said the wrong things before? I have said many wrong things to older people. I have been overzealous. I have not had the wisdom to let my frustration come out in a respectful way. So I made all those mistakes before. But thank God that I have older people who say, it's okay, I understand your heart. I see your good godly intentions. So when young people want to make change in our churches and yet do not know how to express them in the way we like, just smooth out the rough edges, but see their heart is that they care for the church. They hope, there is hope that there is change, that they will be able to reach their friends. Are you with me today? So, we need to see it from a different point of view, a different POV. When young people want change in our church, it is not rebellion. It is not a criticism of what we have built. It is not dishonoring. It is that they care that their friends will be reached for Jesus Christ. Do I hear amen for that? So, if you look at the word revolution, now we don't like the word revolution because it is always done in the wrong way, with the wrong spirit. But if you look at the word revolution, look at the screen, it is actually love spelt backwards. You see that? It's actually love spelled backwards. So, revolution must be driven by the power of love, not by the love of power. Revolution, if is driven by the power of love and encouraged from the top down, it is actually good because it is a renewal. The attitude, the spirit is out of love. Only when revolution is driven by a fleshly, ambitious love of power, then that is a mistake and that is bad. Amen? So when we engage the young, as much as we want to change the young people, we must allow them to change us. Allow them to change our churches. That's what we do in Heart of God Church. We give them a vote and a voice. We give them a seat at the table. So as much as I want the young people to change, I let them change me. So we are not condescending. We are not high and mighty. I go to the young people and say, check out my fit. What I'm wearing. Is it okay? Is your friends going to be okay with what I wear? We let them check out the screens, the music, the worship songs that we do. We go to them and we listen and we do what they like. So, for example, in our church, the music, the young people decides what it is. Of course, we have some songs to cater for all different generations, but some of the songs, they get a choice. So, for example, this is a song. We are familiar with songs like this. Can we play it? Right? We are familiar with songs like this. But the youth in my church, they don't like this song. When they say, oh, I don't feel it. The vibes. You know what they like? Let's play this. They like this. But when we do this, the old people say, no Holy Spirit. I don't feel the presence. The tears go back up. But you know what I tell the old in spirit? I say, you know what's maturity? You see, it happens in society, it happens in our family. We always say the old being more mature, we should accommodate the young. Isn't that what we do? As parents, Do you eat what you like to eat, or you let your kids eat what they like to eat? Most of the time, we say we eat what the kids like to eat, and we sacrifice, we compromise so that they are happy. So in the church, shouldn't we teach our people to be accommodating? It's like we the older, we the mature, we should be able to worship God with any styles of songs. In any way, because we know our God. We can worship with any songs. Because we know God. But they are young. And a lot of them don't even know Jesus. They are unreached. They are lost. So we need to have the style and the music that accommodates them. So I tell our people, I know the music is too loud. I know. And I tell them, can I be honest? I say, honestly, I also prefer Happy Days. Because I grew up worshiping with those music. So I prefer our songs, but for the sake of the young people, because we are more mature, we use their songs. Amen? Are you getting this? We accommodate them. So that's why the DJ set we have in our church, we have mosh pit in our church. And some people say, oh, this is the flesh. This is... They're bringing the world into the church. But hey, I want the lost to be in the church and not in the world. They should come in. So this is what we do. Do I go to the mosh pit? No. Oh, Pastor Leah does. I don't go because it's hot. Like tonight. Oh, tonight. Tonight will be the coolest thing, the most fun thing for all the young people. But for me, it's like, oh, it's too hot. It's too crowded together. But it's okay. We will do it for them. Amen? So, very quickly now. The loss of vision. The loss of spiritual discernment. When we are old in spirit, we lose that. And finally, number three. You know the story. The Lord called Samuel 3 times in the night. And then Samuel went to Eli. You know the story. I won't have to read it to you. Samuel was young, and he couldn't recognize the voice of God. But you know what? Eli didn't even hear the voice of God. So number three of people with old spirit is a loss of hearing. Verse 8, chapter 3, the Lord called Samuel 3 times. So he arose and he went to Eli and he says, here I am, for you did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy 3 times. Samuel heard God's voice. Eli didn't. Eli just perceived that it was God. So listen, Eli can perceive a God he can no longer hear. Whereas Samuel can hear a God he has not yet perceived. I'd rather be a Samuel. Eli knows a God he can no longer hear. But Samuel can hear a God he has not known. So Samuel can hear God even though he is inexperienced. But Eli is one of those people who have been in church for a long time. And they know the songs, they know the order of service, they know the language, the Christianese, they might even know the theology, the Greek and the Hebrew. So they know the traditions, they know the religion, they know how to do church. But they have lost the ability to hear God. But there is a young generation, we the Samuel generation, we may have less accomplishment. We may have less success in ministry, but we can hear God. And so I'm saying to the Samuel generation, rise up. Listen to God for yourself. Amen. Because the most important thing is hearing from God, that you have a fresh revelation. So the Eli generation must trust the Samuel generation. And that's one thing Eli did. He perceived that it was God speaking to Samuel. Think about it. Eli must have felt insecure, threatened even, that God didn't speak to him. God skipped him. God bypassed him and went to speak directly to a younger generation. But he had character enough to say, okay, Samuel, this is the Lord. Listen to him, obey him, serve him. And he was willing to step back. So the Eli generation, they must trust that God can speak to a young generation. And a young generation can hear God. It's not that they are in the flesh, they are in the spirit. But we the Samuel generation, and speaking to everyone here today, we must trust ourselves. We must not second doubt ourselves. We must be confident that we have heard from God. Even though we don't have the success, even though we don't have the achievements, but we must hear from God and we must trust that we heard correctly, that God does speak to young people. Amen? So you got to understand. So I'm speaking to us, the Samuel generation here, the Kingmaker generation. While we hear God, I must put a clause here to make sure we don't go crazy. It is good to hear from God directly. But there's a difference between new and fresh. We want fresh revelation. We don't need new revelation. If you ever hear a preacher say that I have a new revelation, a new teaching, a new doctrine, be very careful. Because that Ecclesiastes says there is nothing new under the sun. So don't let someone come and say, I have a new revelation. No, no, no. But what we want is fresh revelation. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they had fresh manna for 40 years. But they say, we don't want fresh manna, we want new food. We are sick of the fresh manna. We want something new. And sometimes people will crave for something new. And they'll follow preachers who is always coming up with new revelation and new teaching, never been heard before. No, 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 no. That is a dishonoring of the fathers who have built the faith here. That is a dishonoring of what the Bible says. There is nothing new under the sun. But we want fresh revelation. Allow us, allow the young people to have fresh revelation. So we don't need new food. We want fresh manna. We don't need a new marriage. We want a fresh marriage. Don't look for the new. Look for the fresh. When I come here and talk about generations, it is not something new. It is all in the Bible. Fresh revelation. So while we let the young people listen to God, we must guide them and let them understand that they're not coming up with something new, but something fresh. So the message stays the same. The method change. The fundamental message stays the same. I am proud to say that for us, even though we are young, a church for young people, Our message is conservative. It's fundamental. Our values are conservative. We don't believe in the modern family. A marriage is between a man and a woman. That's what the Bible says. We believe that abortion is killing, is murder. So it doesn't matter what the world says, we are not liberals. We are conservative. So don't compromise Bible values and Bible teaching. But the presentation, the packaging, the external can change. The styles of music, the way the church looks, the way they dress, all these can change. So you have to have the balance. So having a young church, having a church for youth, by youth, to reach youth, doesn't mean you compromise the Bible. But it does mean you compromise your preference. You and I may prefer something different, but that's okay. Let the young people have their preferences. Are you listening? Amen. So with this, I'm going to close real soon. We are the Samuel generation. We are the Kingmaker generation. Number one, don't lose your vision. Number two, don't lose your spiritual discernment. Most of the time, the youths are not drunk. They are not in the flesh. When they want their change, they want their style, it is a good thing. They still care about the church. That's why they are bringing the change. And then number three, don't lose your hearing. Get fresh revelation from heaven. So finally, this is the verse that the Lord has been putting in my heart ever since I flew here. Go with me to Genesis 17, verse 5 to verse 6. Oh, I believe, Nigeria, your time is coming. I believe, Nigerian churches and pastors, your time is coming. Our forefathers, they have pioneered. They have sacrificed. They have suffered. And now the Samuel generation, you are arising. But we need to prepare. We need to know that the glory and the fullness of the Nigerian churches is not in our generation. It is in the future generation. But we must be prepared to be kingmakers. We will not be the king. They will be the king. The young people, your children, your grandchildren, the unborn young people, they will be the kings. But we can prepare them. We can be the kingmakers. Are you willing to be a Moses who will never step into the promised land, but yet prepare a whole generation of Joshuas to enter the promised land? Are we willing that the height and the pinnacle of our churches and our ministry is not in our lifetime, but in the lifetime of the future generations? Are we willing to let down our egos? Let me tell you, one of the saddest things for me is to grow old and watch my ministry decline. Watch my church decline. I think it will be one of the hardest things to see my life's work. And when I retire, it starts to decline and diminish. No. My dream is that my next generation, Pastor Garrett, and even beyond, they will take my church and my ministry to a greater heights, to a greater glory. That when I die, the trajectory of our ministry is on the up, not on the down. But In order to do that, you need to die to your ego. Your future generation, the people, the young men and young women who have you have raised up, they will be greater than you. They will do more than you. You must be like Jesus. Let me decrease and let the next generation increase. Are we willing to lay down the ego? Or are we like Saul? You know, King Saul was so upset. When the people began to sing, Saul killed 1,000, but David 10,000. And he couldn't take it. His ego, his insecurity. I would be overjoyed when Pastor Garrett and all the other pastors, they killed their 10,000 while I only did my 1,000. So we got to lay down our ego. Are you willing to be kingmakers? God is raising up all of you to be kingmakers. Last verse, Genesis 17, verse 5. A new season, a name change. No longer shall your name be called Abram. Your name shall be called Abraham. I have made you a father of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you. And this is what I want you to see. Read this. And kings shall come from you. And kings shall come from you. Nigerian pastors, out of you will come kings and queens, spiritual kings and queens. Kings shall come out of your ministry. Not just kings, not just pastors and leaders, but also business people. People who have influence in society, in the nation. Policymakers, out of your ministry, out of your loins, your spiritual loins will come kings. Kings. But we need to become kingmakers. In order to be a kingmaker generation, we need to lay down our egos. We need to lay down sometimes even our dreams so that their dreams will come to pass. But many of you here, you are parents. And you would do anything, sacrifice everything for your children, right? Well, you become spiritual fathers, mothers, Abrahams of your church, of your ministry. And you lay down your ego and your dreams so that the next generation can rise. Amen? So it's a time of preparation. The forefathers have pioneered. Now it's our time to prepare. And in 10, 20, 50 years, the next generation, they will be blessed. They will rise to build great churches. The fullness, the glory of Christianity in Nigeria will come if we are willing to be kingmakers. Amen? Stand up with me right now as I close. Just close your eyes. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to many of you right now. So as I speak, I ask the Holy Spirit to also confirm what is in your heart. These are not words from a man or woman from Singapore. I believe these are words from heaven. I believe God is speaking to you. If this resonates with you, that I will be a kingmaker. Kings and queens will come out of my ministry. But I will lay down my ego. If that's you, you just lift up your hands. You tell God. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord saying that some of us here, we have thought mistakenly that youth ministry is a stepping stone towards more prestigious platforms, towards more ambitious goals, Listen, God says to you, the young people, they are not a stepping stone. They are not a transitional ministry. The young people is the treasure. The young people, they are the heart of God. Do not use young people to step up. And when you are in a young people ministry, it is not a step down. It is not a step down. Sometimes people think that young youth ministry is second class, is B grade. They think wrongly. Listen, the youth ministry is that potential. You are raising sons and daughters. You are raising kings and queens. They will change the world. So if you are a youth pastor, you are in the perfect center of God's will. If you have moved on to become a senior pastor, listen, your heart must be focused on the young people. Yes, you pastor the whole church, but your heart, your resources, your focus, your attention must be on the young people. And if that's you, today you make a commitment to the Lord. I sense the Lord calling some of you here, even online. You think you missed it. You think you're too old. You think you're too old for youth ministry. You think you have missed it. But listen, God called Samuel 3 times. And Samuel missed it for 3 times. But God will call a 4th time. Today, God is calling you for the 4th time. Will you rise? Will you say, yes, God, speak. I will listen. I will obey you. I will go back to the youth ministry. I will love the young people. I will disciple them. I will raise them up. So God is speaking to you. God is calling you a 4th time. You are the Samuel. You can hear God. You can hear God. But don't let Him call you a 5th time. Respond to Him. Respond to Him. I feel God speaking to some of you here, maybe even online, that sometimes, we being the Samuel generation, we may not have the successes and the accomplishment of the previous generation. And like Samuel, like young Samuel, when we hear from God, we doubt. When we hear from God and nobody's doing it and God is calling you to be different, but no one is doing it, and you begin to doubt yourself. And deep on the inside of pastors here, there is a need for affirmation. There is a craving for validation. It is like almost like a spiritual daddy issue. We want that validation and affirmation from a senior ministry, from a more successful mentor. Now, don't get me wrong, and I say it one more time, I am not saying that we dishonor them. I am not saying that we don't need accountability. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not speaking about the outside. I'm speaking about the inside. Maybe deep inside, some of us here, we are insecure. And because we are insecure, we will conform to what is normal. Because we want their confirmation. We want their validation. But you are young Samuel. God has spoken to you. God wants you to lead young people, disciple young people. It may be not be the most brilliant strategy because young people have no money. Young people have no connections. No network that you can tap on. They have nothing. But that is the test of our unadulterated love. Because when we love and minister to the business people, not that it's bad, but sometimes we have benefits. Sometimes the church will benefit. But when you minister to a child, that is true love. Because a child can never give you anything back. That is why I respect pastors who minister to children and young people more. I respect them greatly because they are never on the stage, they are in the side room. And they have no benefits from children. That is true love. So God is saying, you know who you are. If you need a validation, deal with it today. Do what God says. Amen? Hallelujah. And finally, for some of us here, you have been hurt raising up young people. So I remember yesterday at the question and answer session, when we talk about heartbreaks, everybody wants to have something to say. When we talk about heartbreaks, there is such a response. Because pastors, I know, I feel you. We all have our hearts broken. We all have been disappointed. We all have been hurt before. And maybe because of that, you have stopped giving your heart. Maybe because of that, you have stopped raising up young people. Because they have hurt you. They have disappointed you. You raise up young men, young women. And now they are successful. They forget you. Now they are great. They are somebody in ministry. And they never credit you. They never come back and show gratitude to you. We all have been there. But don't stop. Don't stop. You know why? Look, Samuel. We say Samuel anointed King David. But remember, before King David, there was another king. Samuel also anointed a King Saul. We all have anointed our King Sauls. We all have felt that we made a mistake, chose the wrong person. We all felt that we made the mistake to raise up a Saul who disappoints us, who does damage to the kingdom. But imagine if Samuel said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to anoint another king. That's it. That's the end. I made a mistake. No more King Sauls. I will no longer give my heart. I will no longer lay my hands. There will be no King David. So even if you have raised up King Sauls, I have raised up many Sauls in my life. I have been disappointed. I have felt, doubted myself. Maybe I should have discerned better. Maybe I should have had better judgment. But I keep going. I keep going. Pastor Leah keeps going. Because with every Saul, there will be a David. And I will not penalize the David because of the Saul. The David must be given equal opportunity. The David must be given equal love. Just because I was hurt by my sores doesn't mean I stop and not love and empower and believe in the David. So today God is speaking to you. If you have raised up the wrong king, it's okay. Keep going. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Amen. Lift up your hands. Father, we pray for all the pastors here. We have been discouraged. We have made mistakes. But give us the idealism. Give us the courage. Give us the strength to keep going. Keep going. Raise up young people. Raise up another generation. Raise up the King Davids. Use us, oh God, to become kingmakers. Use us to become kingmakers. God, today we lay down our egos. We lay down our ambitions, God. We lay it all down. Let me decrease. Let Jesus increase. Let the next generation increase. God, we are the mature ones. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you speak to every single person here and even online. With all my heart, I believe the future fullness and glory of the Nigerian church and Christianity will come. Even greater, even greater. But it will be empowered by a new generation of young kings and queens. So God, let us be kingmakers. Let us be kingmakers. If that's you, can you lift up your hands and say you want to be a kingmaker? And you talk to God. You pray. You pray. Hallelujah. 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 You pray. Why don't you pray for a young man or young lady in your church, in your ministry right now? There'll be some people that God brings to your mind. They could be 23 years old. They could be 17 years old. They could be even 32 years old. But God is calling them. And you say, I will help them. I will invest in them. I will make them successful. Raise them up, God. Raise them up. Shata rabahanda, soko rabahanda, shididi anda rabahanda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We pray all this in your mighty name, Jesus. And everybody say,
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a big hand clap.